in my kitchen. Prayers are to be raining out the door.
Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. How are you doing today? Did you go to your favorite farmer's market this weekend? I certainly did. I couldn't go last weekend, and so I hung out extra hours today, and it was just lovely in Sebastopol. We're going to be talking about fermentation today, and I want you to just stop and think for a minute about all of the foods that you love that wouldn't exist were it not for this miraculous alchemy of fermentation. Probably up here you think right away of wine, beer, sauerkraut, pickles. Milk is transformed into yogurt, kefir, and all manner of cheeses because of fermentation. There's even a new kefir in town, other than what you might make yourself, and I know several people who are doing that. But Clover has released a new organic kefir that is really quite delicious. So fermentation is one of the miracles of Mother Nature. And fermented products are also really good for humans. And there's sort of this resurgence of interest in the old craft of fermentation. You can read about Korean kimchi, for example. November is kimchi month in Korea. And some people in Korea, if they can afford it, actually have two refrigerators, one for storing all the kimchi that they make in November to last them throughout the year, and another for the regular foods. And the making of kimchi is a national pastime in Korea. They report on how on the availability of ingredients on the news every night. They report on the progress of the fermentation. You can even still find on the tops of apartment buildings throughout Korea, you can see the big crocks where the kimchi is fermenting. So it's an ancient style of preparing foods that humans have taken advantage of for a very, very long time. And it occurs in the natural world without the intervention of man, but we can certainly help it along in all kinds of interesting ways. So that's what we're going to be talking about. But a couple of things before we introduce today's guest. First of all, it's an historic day for me, and I just thought I would tell you with. I've never really covered Mother's Day here, and a long time ago, I didn't exactly put a ban on Mother's Day, but I sort of did. I didn't want my little girls to feel obligated if we were broke, which we often were, me being a single mother as I raised them. It's like, oh, honey, you don't have to feel bad. Mother's Day is just a way that, you know, advertising convinces you to spend money and feel guilty if you don't. So I sort of made that. I didn't think I was making it a rule. But it turns out that my girls really thought that. And I got an email from my daughter who lives in Mississippi. I got an email from her today. She said, Mama, I know how you feel about Mother's Day and everything, but I'm just going to say this anyway. And I'm not saying it ironically. It's Mother's Day, and I'm thinking about you, and I really miss you, and I can't wait to see you. And I thought, oh, that is so sweet. And you know what? We're going to lift the ban. So as of today, I have officially lifted the ban on Mother's Day with one exception. They can't ever make me go out to brunch, especially on Mother's Day. But brunch is not my favorite meal. And as long as they don't make me go out to brunch for Mother's Day, they can do anything else they like. So that's my gift to my girls on Mother's Day. And now we want to talk to you about your gift to us. And I'm going to bring Lawrence Alberti in, Mouthful's engineer. And as I was driving to the station, I was thinking, you know, you can even look at the money that is donated by those of you who become members of KRCB as a form of fermentation. You see how that works? I took Lawrence by surprise.
Do you want to explain that?
Well, sure. You know, you take one thing and it's used as sort of the seed to transform it into something else. So we take your money and through this mysterious process of what we might call fermentation, we transform it into community radio.
I guess I follow.
Okay. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to provide a little bit of the starter. Think of your money as yeast. We're the kneaders. We will take your yeast. We will combine it with the flour we have here in the studio. We'll knead it, and we'll give it back to you in the form of your daily community radio. That's what goes on. The number here is 584-2020. There are all kinds of membership levels. Do we have that written down? Are we going to play
it by ear? We have a
couple.
We have three at least. What we have to offer at this point are 6 heirloom tomato plants from Occidental Arts and Ecology Center. That's at the $60 level. There is a Healdsburg Farmers Market package, and I think we've yet to determine the price of that.
We'll figure that out.
If people express an interest, that includes a canvas bag, a Locavore t-shirt, a farm market cap, and a farm market sticker.
And, you know, the Healdsburg Farmers Market is just an absolute treasure. It's one of my favorite. I pretty much love almost every farmers market I've ever been to. But one of the things I love about the Healdsburg Market, well, there's two things that for me set it apart. One, there's a lot of backyard farmers, people who have moved to Healdsburg. Maybe they're in their retirement years, and they love gardening. And they produce some lettuces that Bonterra is the farm that produces these lettuces. They look like bouquets, and they're so delicious. So you find lots of things, and these farmers go only, many of these farmers are backyard gardeners, go only to Healdsburg. And the other thing is there's that little creek running nearby, and so if the market's not too noisy, you hear the music of water. And I always love being out in public around people and hearing water at the same time. It's one of my favorite things. So that's a really good thank you gift. The number is 584-2020. You can renew. You can join for the first time. You can give an extra gift because you've already become a member of KRCB. But you love Mouthful. You like these thank you gifts. And also, anyone who calls this evening for Mouthful at any level, we are going to give you as another thank you gift. I guess you'd call this a ticket. Would you call this a ticket? Yes. Well, just you get to go to the Freestone Fermentation Festival. It is taking place next Saturday, May 16th, in the town of Freestone at the really beautiful new green building at Salmon Creek School. It goes on from noon until 8 p.m. There's speakers, there's exhibits, there's demonstrations, there's tours, and there's a whole bunch of music. We will be talking about it in detail. But it's a pass. It's a free pass for anyone who calls tonight. 584-2020 is the number. So we want to hear from you.
I have one more premium specific to our show. That is Jonah Raskin's new book, Field Days, A Year of Farming, Eating, and Drinking Wine in California. That's available at the $80 level. And the way this is written and the way I understand it, perhaps the Healdsburg Farmers Market package should also be at the $60 level. It sort of looks like intuitively that's the way that would work. Again, the Healdsburg Farmers Market package is a canvas bag, a Locavore t-shirt, a farm market cap, and a farm market sticker. Also at that $60 level, those 6 heirloom tomato plants from Occidental Arts and Ecology Center will be delivered to your house.
How cool.
You need not drive to the OAEC to pick them up.
The tomato plants come to you. That's very cool.
So that's what we've got to offer at this point.
So it's 584-2020. Mouthful is in its 13th year. I think you have to figure out how many pledge drives I've done. I think you have to multiply that times 3. 39? Have I actually done 39 pledge drives? Surely not. But perhaps. So, and I always say the only money involved in Mouthful, as far as the staff here goes, is what I spend. We're all volunteers. Lawrence is a volunteer. I've been a volunteer for 13 years. I think in those 13 years I've had four producers. We've had our very first producer, Evelyn, and her, Evelyn Anderson. After Evelyn had two babies and had to move on to those sorts of things, we had Frederic Lavoie-Pierre. Frederic, who's been a guest on Mouthful several times as well, she's now working on a special major master's degree at Sonoma State, doing really interesting things out in the fields with insects and insectiaries at wineries. And so after Frederic could no longer do it, we had Nancy Lawrence. Nancy Lawrence, one of my hula sisters. In fact, it was here on Mouthful that I found out Nancy danced hula, and within days was dancing next to her in a class and have been studying it ever since. And when Nancy Lawrence decided it was time to go on to other things, she now, by the way, has become the most amazingly creative and accomplished felter. She does fabulous felted things, and you can find her work. It's Nancy Lawrence. You can find her on Etsy, E-T-S-Y, Etsy.com. Really wonderful stuff. She even felted, I don't think I told you this, Lawrence, Nancy felted the Yip Yip aliens. She took them down after doing, she doesn't want to be known as doing derivative work. All her other stuff is pretty much made up out of her own head, but she was the one who turned me on to the Yip Yip aliens. And if you don't know who the Yip Yip aliens are, when Mouthful is over, you need to go to YouTube and type in Yip Yip Aliens Plus Radio. And you want to watch, for the first one, watch Yip Yip Aliens Discover a radio, and I think it's about the funniest thing I've ever seen, but then I'm really into radio. Anyway, she felted the aliens. They look exactly like them, but she's felted Sam Choi, the really well-known chef from Hawaii. She's felted a coral snake. She turned a coral snake into a necklace. She gave me for my birthday last year a little tiny felted volcano. And she's really...
Now, when you say felted, I'm not sure I understand what that is. We're not painting on velvet here.
No, we're not painting on velvet at all. And you're seeing felting at a lot of crafts fairs out in West County in particular. There seems to be this little surge of interest in the craft of felting, possibly because we have a lot of local wool. And at some point when we get into winter, I'll probably have some people who work with wool and they'll bring in some felting. But what you do, there's two ways that I know of to do felting. One is needle felting, and that is you start with this big old piece of wool and you stick a pin in it over and over. Maybe you have a thick piece of styrofoam beneath the wool, because you don't want to like hold it on your knee, because then, or your thigh, because then you're going to put the needle through your leg
yourself,
and that would hurt. And you just poke it. Until it looks like what you want to make, basically. And Nancy does a very realistic... I mean, she will take something like she did. She was invited to contribute to the auction at Pixar. And she made a felted acorn. And a felted acorn that Nancy has made looks exactly like an acorn. And it is a farm product, because that wool is local wool, cleaned and spun and that sort of thing here. You don't have to make it from local wool, but I think Nancy works with all local wool. You often see Nancy at the farmer's market buying more wool. She just can't stop felting.
So does this then become a piece you hang on the wall?
Yeah, it might become a piece you hang on the wall. She makes little coasters, so it might be something you use in that way. It might, in the case of my volcano, it's a little pin. She also felted me a rocket ship. So you'd wear those as a pin. She's made little tiny birds to wear as earrings. I think I saw somebody at a crafts fair out in West County, of the Joy Road crafts fair, who had made a life-size felted cabbage. And it looked exactly like a cabbage. Now, that's one kind of felting. There's another kind of felting, and you may have seen this, and it's pretty common to see bars of soap covered in felt. I don't know if you've ever seen
that. Not in my house.
We might see them if you ever walk through a farmer's market. And that's wet felting. And Nancy also, she made a pair of wet felted mittens. And they're mittens with a mittens, so they only have a place for your thumb, and then your four fingers are together. And she used it in several different, she did it in several different colors of orange. And she just laid out pieces of, well, she cut a shape out of clear plastic. She cut the shape of a hand, and then she laid pieces of wool over that, to form the shape, and turned it over and laid those pieces of wool again, and then started working water into it. And so the wool all then clung to each other, and eventually she put them on her hands and held them under water. I mean, held them in running water, I think she said about 45 minutes, and you just massage them till they fit. And the phone is ringing here at KRCB. Maybe I'm getting it all wrong, and Nancy's calling to say that,
to
no,
you.
Michelle, that's not how I did it. Anyway, that's Felting. Why don't we hear a little music? We will be right back with our guests here on Mouthful.
There stands the glass that will ease all my pain, that will settle my brain. It's my first one today. There stands the glass that will hide all my tears, that will drown all my fears. Brother, I'm on my way. I wonder where you are tonight. I wonder if you are all right. I wonder if you think of me in my misery. There stands the glass.
It's Mouthful. We got a call saying that we were off the air. So if you are having those problems,
if you
can't hear me, call. we're going to assume it's okay. We checked everything we can check on this end, and it seems like we are broadcasting. So we're thinking maybe her cat pulled the plug. Sometimes happens, and you don't even notice. Anyways, talking about felting, a farm product. Did I answer your question about what felting is?
For the most part, yeah. I think I've seen it done before. And you're starting with raw wool, right?
Well, yeah.
You've taken what you've shorn off of the sheep.
Well, no, you have to cart it.
Okay.
You know, carting.
There was another step there.
Yeah,
you have to cart it.
It's sort of a combing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to start with clean wool that's been carted. But yeah, then it's not processed any further than that.
And it's pretty labor intensive, right?
It is.
That whole carting process and the...
Well, I think the felting is a miracle. I think it's really difficult. And
so
I think it's really difficult to get inflection. I mean, she has felted her daughter and her husband. I think her husband playing a guitar and possibly her daughter playing bass. And you look at these little wool characters and you see her. It looks like her daughter Amelia.
Yeah.
It looks like her husband Dave. You have to have that gift of inflection, which is what I call it, which means something to me. It may not mean anything to anyone else. But yeah, you stick the pins in until it looks like what you want it to look like.
Right. And this wool is not spun. And
no,
you're
not
buying
spun.
Felt from the store. You've created something from the sheep.
Yes.
That ends up being a wearable or displayable piece of art.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
absolutely
beginning to understand.
And we will do a show on felting. I always think of it as more of a fall winter thing. But there's no reason really to think of that way. That's just how I think of it. Well, fermentation. Fermentation is, for the most part, a year-round thing, but now it is also a very much a spring thing with the Freestone Fermentation Festival happening on Saturday, May 16th. Michael, thank you for being here. It's Michael Stusser of Osmosis. Tell me how the Fermentation Festival came about. Tell me about its birthing.
Well, the Fermentation Festival has been percolating, bubbling, I should say, for a few years now among those of us out in Freestone who are involved in our various endeavors, creating magic by using fermentation. And that includes Jed Wallach's wonderful Wildflower Bakery and also the new Freestone Vineyards, which has opened a tasting room in town. And we discovered, hey, we have something very important in common, because the enzyme bath is also warmed by fermentation.
And that's what I wanted you to talk about. That's probably the area of fermentation that I know least about, is what happens at Osmosis. How is fermentation involved in Osmosis?
Fermentation is basic in all of these processes. And part of our interest in creating the festival is to create that deeper overarching understanding of the magic of fermentation and help people to understand and recognize what an all-pervasive force it is in nature and how much it has to contribute. We get a ferment from Japan, which we use.
Now, for the person who has never thought about this before, can you describe what a ferment is?
Different categories of yeasts constitute ferments, and this is a particular constellation of yeasts which help initiate a particular culture in our special mixture of ingredients that comprise the enzyme bath.
And when you say bath, we're not talking about a big tub of liquid. We're not talking about water. We're talking about something else, right?
No, we're not. The enzyme bath is a living thing. It's comprised of all these different constituents, including the most fragrant cedar in the world.
So is it sort of a sawdust type of thing?
It's a finely ground blend of wood fibers, and the cedar is one of them. There's other species of wood involved as well. And they're mixed with rice bran, which has a whole number of other characteristics which are very beneficial to the skin, including vitamin E and other oils. And it's also high in nitrogen, so you're getting a perfect combination of carbon and nitrogen, which sets off this wonderful process where the microbes go to work and heat the medium up.
So those warm enzyme baths are heated solely from the process of fermentation, not from heaters underneath.
They are. We do circulate warm water at the beginning to help culture the
help get it started.
Help get it started. Then we turn it off, and it carries on from there.
And about how high will it get during the peak of its process?
You mean temperature-wise?
Right.
Well, one thing to keep in mind is the density of humidity is not like water. If you were to take water, obviously, at 100% humidity in a steam bath at, you know, whatever the percentage is, pretty low, steam baths are administered at a very high temperature. The enzyme bath ranges in from 120 degrees, sometimes higher. But the density of humidity, it's more like a steam bath than a water bath in terms of the density of humidity. So the transfer of heat is less than it would be if you were into water.
Okay.
And the process mimics your basic body function. Basically, fermentation is what keeps our body warm all the time, and our internal organs are working all the time to generate all these activities within the body. They're all catalyzed by enzymes, and the whole enzyme community is flourishing in this fermentation environment because fermentation is the mother of the activity. So it's a fundamental impulse in biology, and we're mimicking that with the bath. And when you immerse yourself in this mixture, it's basically going for a ride, if you will, on this whole incredible community of organisms, which are, they have infinite wisdom.
Okay.
And they're communicating with the same ones in your body that also have
Okay, so what is wisdom. What is the benefit that you're going to enjoy by stepping into this fermenting enzyme bath?
Well, basically, it boosts your metabolism.
Oh, okay.
Enzymes are working, as we know, fundamentally in the digestive process in your body, but they're also the catalyst for just about everything else that involves movement in your body. So the movement of energy through your nervous system, the flexing of your muscles, the exchange of oxygen on the lining of the inside of your lungs into your bloodstream, the blink of an eye, basically every form of movement is catalyzed by enzymatic activity. And when you get into the bath, you get a whole infusion of this energy coming from outside your body. And part of the reason that it's so restful is your internal organs, who are working all the time to create all these enzymes and processes, get an incredible rest. They basically get to go into neutral.
Oh, really? And oh, that's interesting.
That's why people feel so energized after the bath.
Now, does it follow that if you eat things that are the product of fermentation, you enjoy similar benefits?
Yes. And that's why there's this huge resurgence of interest in fermented foods.
Because there really is. I've noticed this for the last number of years. But you really see it, and I've seen it a lot in Sonoma, throughout Sonoma County and the Bay Area. And you see it all over various websites, that sort of thing. Some make some rather astonishing claims, but you come back to reality and you still see this very solid interest in eating fermented foods.
Well, and the interest is evidence-based because as more and more is known about the different enzymes and probiotics in particular, and how much of an enhancement they are to your internal flora and your digestion, the benefit is really being seen. Fermenting food has a number of incredible properties. It's a natural preservative.
That's right. And let's just use a really simple example. Let's say you have a cabbage. Now, that cabbage is, to some degree, built to last. It's a, you know, primarily a cooler. Cabbage is best when grown in cooler weather. And it used to be that it might be packed in straw in a root cellar. But even today, you buy a cabbage, and if you store it properly, you can maybe keep it 3 or 4 weeks. However, if you turn that cabbage into sauerkraut, which is through a simple process of fermentation, you can keep it for months.
Absolutely.
Is that a good example?
Well, it is. And not only can you keep it for months, but the nutritional value is actually enhanced.
Mm-hmm. Same with cheese. Cheese and yogurt last longer than fresh milk. And all of those products are really fresh milk transformed by fermentation.
And so many of the processed food products, the industrial food processes, use different preservatives that have questionable value in our bodies, and to some evidence seem mm-hmm. to indicate, you know, less than the best,
mm-hmm.
Whereas this is a natural process, natural mm-hmm. way of preserving foods.
So if you make sauerkraut, to preserve that sauerkraut for several months, do you need to do anything else to it other than, you know, pack it into sterile containers? It just lasts. Is that right?
It lasts, and all the knowledge about it is going to be shared at the festival. I'm mm-hmm. not an expert on making these food products, but
they
I'm
do,
terribly
I mean, part
interested
of what we're
in
doing is, I mean, part of what you're doing, like you said, it's a natural preservative. So you're not an expert. I'm not mm-hmm. an expert on how each of those are made, but it does preserve. It extends the life of products that, if left fresh, their lifespan would be much shorter.
That's right. So it has a lot of implications for how we can transform as a culture as we go into the post-carbon era, and all the inputs of transportation and processing food are going to become increasingly examined as we're looking mm-hmm. to cut down our footprint and figure out how we can produce things with less energy and more locally and promote more self-sufficiency. So the festival not only is a showcase for 21 different exhibitors who are going to be demonstrating a wide variety of products, and I'll tell you more about who's going to be there when we get into the show if we have time.
Oh, we'll definitely have time.
But also a way to look at the larger implications of fermentation as an overarching principle, not only in our foods, but also in our culture. And we're very honored and excited to have Richard Heinberg speaking. He's going to be the keynote speaker at the conference starting at 12:30. And his talk is entitled Fermentation Can Save the Nation. And he has a lot to say.
He's from the Post-Carbon Institute. He's a senior fellow at the Post-Carbon Institute.
And he's become a global authority on peak oil, and he's written 8 books. And he is very excited about the festival, and he's going to be tying together some very interesting themes. When the Roman Empire collapsed, the period that ensued was called the Dark Ages. But in fact, it was a period of a lot of local self-sufficiency evolved, and things came back to people that were taken away. And there is a lot of quality of life opportunities that emerge in periods like the period that we're in now. And the whole ferment in our communities to pull together and organize ourselves and be cognizant of the different resources and how we can collaborate at a higher level is another part of the ferment that we're going to be talking about at the festival. And we're glad also to be having the Transition Town organization and the Go Local organization as well. We'll all be there to share information and knowledge about the work that they're doing in our community.
Now, one of the people who is going to be there is Lou Preston, of Preston of Dry Creek. Lou has been a guest on the show many, many times. And gosh, I think it must be 10 or 12 years ago Lou was on, and we had an entire hour about yeast and the differences between local yeast and, you know, yeast that you make it, because winemakers deal with the question of yeast all the time. And Lou, since then, Lou makes his own sauerkraut. He makes his own kefir. He's been making bread for a really long time. He experimented with a lot of sourdough starters and finally figured out a great way to make one using the yeast native to that little plot of land he has up there in West Dry Creek. So
Lou has been a very enthusiastic supporter of the festival. He's been very active in dreaming and scheming the whole thing. And his particular exhibit's going to be most interesting. He's going to have a cabbage stomp. So it's just one of...
He's going to have a cabbage stomp?
Yes, his exhibit.
That you sounds will be so like Lou.
Able to actually stomp cabbage as a part of the process of preparing it to make sauerkraut. And, you know, we have a number of really interesting exhibitors who are going to...
I know you're going to have at least a couple of cheesemakers. You have Jennifer Bies from Redwood Hill. You may have seen those signs around town. I heard somebody say, God, I saw these signs. Congratulations, 40 years or 50 years.
And they say, 40 years.
It's like, God, what is she? 100? She doesn't look it. Her parents started Redwood Hill Farm Goat Dairy in 1969. So for anyone who's been wondering, it's like, 40 years, really?
And Jennifer has also been a major supporter from the beginning of the festival and is one of the sponsors. And she also has a new goat kefir product out with... incredible companion flavors, including acai, blueberry, and pomegranate. And if you haven't tried it, wow, it's really good.
Pomegranate, that sounds great. Tea is going to be involved as well. And, you know, a number, it looked like Guayaca.
Guayaki?
Guayaki, okay. Yes. They're having a golden star. Is it a golden star tea?
Well, that's a separate product now.
Oh, I see. Those are, you know, my printer went crazy on me and I can't.
Guayaki makes their fabulous yerba mate drinks. And actually, it's not a fermented drink, but they're so much a part of the culture with the protection of the rainforest. And they just... fit in.
Oh, so, okay, so Golden Star Tea is another of the vendors.
Golden Star Tea is a very interesting new product. I haven't even tasted it yet, but I have heard so much about it.
Someone was just talking to me about it.
It's a fermented jasmine tea.
That's right.
And we're going to be pouring it. And we're really excited to be demonstrating that project, product at the festival.
I wake up every morning to fermented tea. I drink Pu'er. And that's an aged tea that has gone through a process of fermentation. And one of the things that it does with the tea is it resolves those tannins. Because there's if you ever drink a tea that is sort of puckery on the tip of your tongue in particular, that's probably a green tea, a black tea, black tea is fermented, or a black tea that has been steeped too long, or one that's particularly young. Pu'er, the tea that I drink, is fermented and very smooth.
Oh, that sounds good.
Very
I'd like
smooth.
To try that.
Oh, Pu'er tea is, there's a whole underground cult of people now interested in Pu'er. It was for a very long time just this well-kept secret of the Yunnan province of China. And a couple of people started bringing it back. And about 5 years ago, maybe, you started seeing it on the menus of better restaurants. Seaweed Cafe is, I think, the first in Sonoma County. Infusions Tea Shop started carrying some very nice organic pu'ers. And you now see it in a number of places. You even see it in cheap pu'er and tea bags. Some of it's not bad. I'll make sure you have some. It changed my life. A man came and made pu'er here on Mouthful. And he poured me a cup, and I looked, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to be polite and drink this. It looks like a cup of very, very strong, dark coffee. I mean, it is just black. You don't see through it. And I took a sip, and that changed how I had, at that point, had English tea every morning, and tea sweetened with milk and sugar. From that time on, he gave me a little to take home, and when it was gone, I bought more. It's the smoothest tea I've ever tasted, and it's very rich, but not at all, none of those unpleasant flavors that you need to, or textures that you need to mitigate with cream. It's just wonderful and very good for you.
Great. Can't wait to try it. Another drink that we'll have at the festival will be, of course, kombucha. And we're going to have four classes during the day. By the way, the festival, the exhibits and all the classes on fermentation are from from noon to 4:30. The music will continue further into the evening. But for those of you who want to attend and are interested in the talks or the classes or the exhibits, they'll all be taken down at 4:30. So just make sure that you come early. Richard's talk is at 12:30. At 1:30, we have Jessica Prentice, who coined the word locavore, and will be talking about the world of fermented foods. And she will also be giving a class on fermented foods at 3 o'clock. Then another very interesting keynoter we have is Malcolm Morrison, who's doing pioneering work in very sophisticated biological teas that he is fermenting and spraying on the leaves of plants and getting absolutely phenomenal results, not only increasing fertility and creating a disease resistance, but these sprays, by creating live biology on the leaves of the plants, are stimulating the roots of the plants to exude different agents which excite and ignite biological activity in the root zone, in the soil, and make all kinds of nutrients available to the plants. His work is really cutting edge, and he is also one of the sponsors of the festival.
Yeah, he'll be at 2:30 in compost teas. And Lou Preston is making this amazing compost tea up at his winery, and he showed us how he's using that now on his vines. It's really something to see. And I see that Infusions is going to be a participant, so you should get them to make sure they bring some pu'er. I'm sure there will be if this is something about fermentation. There's also classes on how to make your own sauerkraut and kimchi. There's going to be a great pickle producer there that you were talking to me about, the pickle producer from Berkeley.
Yes, absolutely. Alex Hosen is coming, and she will be bringing her amazing product line that she usually sells at the Berkeley Farmers Market. She's going to come up here that day instead of going to the market. She's been doing this fervently for 12 years now, her and her husband. She has amazing recipes for both her sauerkrauts and her kimchis. I went down to Berkeley with Jennifer Bice and my family to meet Alex and to sample her wares. And I have to tell you, it is sensational. The creativity of her recipes and the quality of her product is just simply over the top. And folks will be very lucky to be able to meet her. We're really pleased that she's going to be attending.
You're listening to Mouthful. We are talking with Michael Stusser, founder of the Freestone Fermentation Festival, and also owner of Osmosis there in downtown, so to speak, Freestone. For anyone who calls during Mouthful to make a pledge at whatever level is comfortable for you, $40, $60, $80, we have lots of thank you gifts, but everyone gets a free pass to the Freestone Fermentation Festival taking place next Saturday, May 16th, from noon until 8 p.m. It would be helpful if I gave you the phone number, wouldn't it? 584-2020. That's 584-2020. Lawrence and I would just love to hear from you. It's Mouthful, and Michael just handed me what he calls the Bible of fermented foods. It is called Wild Fermentation, the Flavor, Nutrition, and Craft of Live Culture Foods. Oh, it has a foreword by Sally Fallon of Nourishing Tradition. Sally Fallon is great. It is written by Sandor Alex Katz, K-A-T-Z, covers such topics as vegetable krauts and kimchi, yogurt and cheese, sourdough breads, miso and tempeh, and, of course, beers, wines, and meads.
And, Michelle, I just wanted to add that his publisher is going to be there selling all kinds of books on fermented foods.
Oh, great. Great. And, you know, one of the things that I like so much about fermented foods, other than that, you know, our grandmothers and our grandmothers' grandmothers did it. This is just what was done for thousands of years of human history. So, like with so many things that we're discovering today, it's really the knowledge that has that our ancestors, you know, have given to us. If you're in Hawaii, and I've certainly been talking about that lately, there are people who like poi fresh, and there are people who really enjoy poi that has started to take on a sour flavor, and that sour poi has begun to ferment. I happen to like poi both ways. So anyway, it looks like a really good book. I will get myself a copy of this. And we're now looking at a list of the exhibitors. We have Cowgirl Creamery, Cultured Pickle Shop. I'm not going to read everybody. West County Health Centers, Transition Town Sebastopol. We're going to talk more about that. Seed to Sauce, Mommy's Yammies, Osmosis Day Spa Sanctuary, Eat Well Farm. I'm so glad to see Clover Stornetta is involved. They bring such high-quality products to the general public, and that's just such a great thing. We also have Lata's Indian Food. Had some of her mango lassi today. Little Lucas loves the mango lassi. So what is Transition Town Sebastopol?
You know, this is a very interesting movement that began in England a couple of years ago, and the communities there were really suffering in economically and decided that they really need to take destiny more in their hands and inventory their local resources and figure out how they could have more independence from these larger institutions of government and business that were meeting in offices far away and had little or no understanding of their own community and yet were making big decisions affecting them. And these very passionate people called for some help, and Richard Heinberg ended up going over there and helping them evolve more self-sufficiency in their community, and they created a fabulous template for pulling communities together. It's been a very effective program, and it's spreading all over the United States. And there's a very strong chapter in Sebastopol, and the folks who are involved have had hugely successful meetings with over 100 people. Several of them are busy at work, and they're going to be at the festival to share more than I can tell you now about what they're doing. And their work very much aligns with the Post-Carbon Institute and the Go Local movement. So all three of those groups are collaborating and are going to be at the festival. And, you know, I also want to mention that we have a fantastic music program that will be going on the entire day from noon all the way until 8 o'clock, even after the fermentation part shuts down at 4:30 in the afternoon. The music will continue. The Hubbub Gorilla Marching Band is going to be there.
Oh, my God. The Hubbub, just go. You need to know nothing else. Just go. I stumbled across them accidentally on Halloween night. I worship at their feet. They are absolutely wonderful.
They're going to be at 4 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, if you've had the fabulous bread at Wildflower there in Freestone, the yeast of that bread is the spirit of Jed Wallach, who is only open 4 days a week because the other 3 days he surfs and drums with a passion. And he has a fabulous samba band, and it's a complete and total showstopper. That's going to be at 3 o'clock. And many other acts. It's all on our website.
Bluegrass, drums, rock, jazz.
Jennifer Tucker. I had the pleasure of seeing her at Barley and Hops on Friday night. She's pretty fun.
What kind of music?
Acoustic guitar, singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm. She's tops. I've heard she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great. She's at 2, from 2 to 2:45, it says. Yes, yes.
And then we've got a lot of great kids' activities as well. It's a very family-friendly event. A lot going on.
A lot going on, and there's a lot going on here at KRCB, too. We are in the middle of our spring membership drive, pledge drive. It is going on from May 4th to May 16th. Mouthful has to do its part, which means we got to ask you to call. 584-2020 is the number. I always like to say, if you just find Mouthful so absolutely gripping, you can always call at another time and say, hey, we're calling for Mouthful, and see if the thank you gifts are still available. Station is pretty accommodating. And here comes Shelley. Shelley, what do you have to say?
You know, what I have to say is that Michelle, the show that you do is stunning week in and week out, and even your reruns are better than first runs of a lot of shows. So, folks, call 584-2020, 584-2020, and support Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, because, you know, it just don't get more delicious than this.
Well, Shelley, thank
you. This is radio. I mean,
this is real radio.
This is cooking right in front of your face. I'm sure that you can smell it coming out of your radio. 584-2020. What was that special that you were offering with anybody who calls during...
Anybody who calls during Mouthful, and I think we're going to pass these on to Outbeat as well. You have a free pass. It's a one-time admission for two guests and one free parking pass. That is, I believe, a $15 value. The Freestone Fermentation Festival is taking place next Saturday, May 16th, from noon until 8 p.m. The fermentation part is noon to 4:30.
And what are we fermenting?
We're fermenting everything. From Natto, we haven't talked about Natto yet. Natto is has been introduced in here for about the last year, maybe 2 years. Is a fermented soybean product that is very, very popular in Japan. It goes back to the early samurais, something they carried around when, you know, they couldn't necessarily cook and they needed good nutrition. So natto is said to be one of those things that just really, it helps you live forever, you know, one of those kinds of things.
If you don't fall on your sword first.
Exactly.
Come on, folks. Fall on your phone.
Luke Preston will be there. There will be sauerkraut, kimchi, how to make your own.
Beer.
And if you have ever... They won't be able to serve beer and wine because this is actually taking place at a Salmon Creek school, and so they can't do it. The really remarkable green building there, we've had Miramar Torres on talking about that building a few weeks ago. But there will be Linmar Winery, who's one of the big sponsors of the Fermentation Festival, will be there. Lou Preston, of course, is an absolutely great winemaker. Love Lou's wines. But he makes fabulous kefir, fabulous breads. So bread, of course, pizza. There will be pizza there. Somebody asked me, I was teaching last weekend, and we were making malasadas. You know, if you've been to Hawaii, you know what a malasada is, Shelley. Oh, you had them at my house for our inauguration,
That's
Luau.
That's right.
The Hawaiian donut.
Right.
And somebody asked me why they were so good. Why do we do a double or a triple rise? Why do you punch down? If you're making pizza dough or malasadas or anything, why do you... You don't really have to punch it down. That's a little brutal. You just collapse it after its first rise, and you have a second rise. You collapse it after its second rise, and you have a third rise. And they ask, well, why do we do that? Why are we going to that trouble? Why don't we just do it after the first rise if all you want is the size? It's like, well, what happens during fermentation, including yeast fermentation when you're making bread, is the flavors develop. We have a secondary benefit of a structural development. You get a more substantial structure. But flavors develop, flavors increase during that rise. And so that's one of the really important things. And that's something, if you have any questions about that, you'll be able to ask them. There'll be many experts there that you can talk about.
And just like the flavors developing in fermentation, the flavors are always developing here on Mouthful.
And don't you see people's membership dollars? The gift they make to Mouthful is like a gift of yeast. That money comes to Mouthful and it comes to the station. And it helps ferment. It grows. It causes Mouthful and all the other local programs here. And there's over 40 locally produced shows here on KRCB. So it's like your gift of yeast to the station. We ferment great programming and give it back to you. And you can make that happen by giving us a call at 584-2020. What is coming up on Outbeat this evening, Shelley?
We're talking to Marga Gomez, who's going to be on live. And she is one of the very first queer comics to come out and just be herself. And she's going to be headlining this year at Pride Comedy Night, which is going to be at the Wells Fargo Luther Burbank Center for the Arts on the 6th of June. And the producers are going to be on as well. So it's all about the pride here, and folks.
And it's always a great show. It is, you know, Shelley, you work so hard on Outbeat. We have a little mutual admiration society going here, I think.
But
Shelley does a fabulous job on Outbeat.
It's all about you, listeners. It's all about you. It's all about making the programming that you appreciate, and by letting us, by the phones ringing, we know you're out there, and we know you appreciate us. And right now, dialing 584-2020 is a vote for Mouthful and a vote for Sunday night programming. And I think Sunday nights is the time to listen. I mean, you start off with Harry Shearer. Then you get Mouthful, then which is the Wine Country's most delicious hour. Then you get Outbeat Salon, which is the Wine Country's queerest hour. And then you get New Dimensions, which to me, somehow there's this synchronistic thing that's happening on New Dimensions where either it's what Mouthful was discussing or what Harry was discussing or what Outbeat was discussing, but they know, and it just all syncs up.
Well, that's
pretty
interesting.
And then Open Space District comes on and John Catchmer plays the greatest music that I ever heard.
Great.
So 584-2020, vote for Sunday night.
Vote for Sunday nights. And in the couple minutes we have left, we're going to vote for all things fermented as well. One of the things, I mean, that's a long time, noon to 8. So you don't have to pack a lunch. You can get a lunch or dinner there at the festival. What are some of the things that will be available?
Well, we're going to have lots of incredible Indian food. And for those of you who have been out to the Occidental Farmers Market, you know that.
She's at the Sebastopol Farmers Market as well. She's the one with the mango lassi.
Yes.
And all of the samosas. She's talking to her son. She has a very charming son.
Yeah.
Young. And he looks like maybe he's about 9.
Yeah.
Talking
so
to him today.
It's really one of my favorites. And then we have Pizza Polenta, and he has a wood-fired oven he's bringing up.
Oh, yes, I think he's from Petaluma.
Yes.
Great wood-fired. I mean, there's nothing like a wood-fired pizza.
So that is going to be very, very good, and he is going to be showing how he makes his yeast mixture and demonstrating that as part of the exhibit phase. And then we're having Mommy's Yammy. Mommy's Yammy's is an incredible Mediterranean-type food.
Oh, okay.
And she's really excited to be coming to the festival.
Now, how do people need advance tickets, or they just give you the $5 when they show up?
Pay
at the door.
You pay at the door. Parking is limited. We really are encouraging people to carpool. There's not a lot of parking in Freestone, and it's...
You have to pony up an extra $5 if you do bring a car. So ride your bike or hitch a ride with somebody else who's going.
Yeah, there you go.
And you can go, if you want to go through the website in more detail, you just head to freestonefermentationfestival.com. You can look leisurely through the various sponsors, the music, and exactly when the classes are. And I did want to tell you, after the Fermentation Festival is over, you might want to leave a little bit early because there's going to be a really incredible hula performance in Petaluma that evening. A couple of things are going to happen at this hula performance that are very rare. There are three of the UNIKI students, and that would be graduate students. Three of the students in Kumushana Ala Pa'is Halau have been given the joyous task of choreographing. And usually when you see a halau perform, you only see the teacher, the kumu's choreography, but now you will also be seeing the choreography of three students. And I believe there will also be presentation of the shark dance that Kumushana recently wrote and choreographed. It is performed with both a pahu, which is a type of drum, but also a taiko drum. So a little cross-cultural pollination there. And I saw that dance when it was first done. And the dancers turn into sharks. They look like sharks, and not scary sharks, but beautiful, haunting, amazing sharks. If you would like more information about the performance on May 16th, the hula performance, the best thing to do is to send me an email at catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net, and I'll send you back all the information. We would love to hear from you. And on that note, we are going to, go over. If we don't say, see you later, thanks for supporting Mouthful, give us a call anytime, and meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. And thanks very much to Michael Stusser for being our guest this evening.
FreestoneFermentationFestival.com.
To the Lord, let praises be, it's time for dinner night. Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.